Oh shit. Oh, wait a minute. Goddamn. Sexy Red that made the King family mad.
The King family, as in Martin Luther King?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you saw that photo of Martin Luther King and Sexy Red.
Some Photoshop, a Photoshop picture.
Yeah, somebody did an AI photo of Sexy Red and Martin Luther King.
Who did she? And she reposted it.
Yeah. So Bernice, the youngest King, said, "This is intentionally distasteful, dishonoring, deplorable, and disrespectful to my family and my father, who was not here to respond because he was assassinated for working for your civil and human rights to end war and poverty."
Where did she post it?
On Twitter.
Is it still up?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yeah, nah, that shit, yeah.
How many hours? Oh, what's the? I guess,
you had to leave Martin alone on his birthday, fam.
No comment.
You got to leave Martin alone on his birthday.
No comment. Hey.
How you feeling, Mike?
I'm all right, bang. I'm all right. I can't call it. Yeah. How about yourself, lady?
Boy.
See you had a rough weekend.
Oh.
How's the family?
That's triggering. Hey, now. Well, that would have been triggering on Thursday.
I seen the close friends post, so you know.
Yeah. On Thursday, let me paint the picture. Me and parts of family ain't been seeing eye to eye.
Okay.
Right. Me and Miriam was talking last week, and I told her that in this situation, one of the things that I fear is something happening to family, you know, when people ain't really seeing eye to eye.
Yeah.
It was some stuff that irritated the shit out of me on Thursday, and venting and all of that shit. And then my little sister called me upset. And when she called me upset, she called me upset about a certain situation. And she just so happens to say that my father passed out and he being rushed to the hospital. And I'm like, wait a minute, you buried the lead. What the hell going on?
Yeah.
It's like, yo, they rush them, boom, boom, boom. So I call my brother, my youngest older brother. My oldest younger brother. And he had told me that my father, he went to the shower where my father was sitting on the bed. And when he got out the shower, my father was unresponsive.
Okay.
And like my father, just like us Davis men, we sleep like something wrong. Like, this wasn't the case. He said he slapped my father a couple of times and that he picked him up and he was limp.
Yeah.
So he called the ambulance and he was unresponsive on the way to the hospital. We got the kids ready, went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I think we met the hospital there. I mean, the ambulance there at the hospital. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen my mom since November 16th. Not really talked either. Seen my father once. Got in. We worried about all the other stuff. We get to all of that. Just let me know what's going on.
Yeah.
Then my father, they brought my father into the triage room we was in. And man, I wasn't ready for what I had saw. Because, you know, he was just there. He hears my voice and my mom says, Lee's here. He turns around and like my mom had a stroke in 2008. So I see certain signs and he turns around and this is the first time I guess he's come to and his eyes just get big. I'm like, oh, I know. I've been there. I've seen this before. And, you know, he's straining. He can't say nothing, but, you know, he trying. So I automatically knew what it was. It was just, was it a mini stroke, mild stroke, massive stroke? I held it together as long as I could. I had to walk out. With the overhead. Long story short, my pops had a mini stroke.
Okay.
Not a mild, not a massive, but a mini stroke is basically there to let you know. Keep fucking around. Now take care of yourself. One of the mother two coming. Like I debated whether to talk about this on the pod, partly because of you, like your situation. And then it's kind of like personal.
Yeah.
When it comes to like us not necessarily talking a lot since November. But man, but I was like, it ain't our pod unless
yeah, of course.
It ain't us if we just, and I know people that know me seen that. The first thing that my father said to me when he was able to talk was sorry. Now that made me break. I broke there. Now, yeah. Not going into detail of everything that happened, but I will go into some therapy details. And hence why I would damn near tell, and partly why I'm willing to like to have this conversation. Cause if I didn't realize that therapy wasn't helping me before this moment, I was like, yo, it is. I sometimes get jealous of seeing like parents give people affirmations. Like, love my mother and father to death. Let me first say this. I love them to death. But we wasn't the good job, keep up the good work family. Like, we wasn't like, everything gonna be straight. Like, I would fail a class and be like, what the fuck did you fail? Like, nigga, you know, there's been a lot of shit going on. Like, it wasn't like, yo, it was never a situation to where it was like, yo, the congratulations came when the shit happened. But it wasn't like a, hey man, just hang in there. And I learned through my sessions, and you know this, and you've told me this too. I don't take in congratulations and things well. Like, I suck at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly why. Because I'm not used to getting that. Not used. I've never been used to those affirmations. So that was part of the conversation that me and Miriam had before all of this happened. I'm also not used to my parents apologizing and shit like that. I'm not used to none of that, Mike. And I know, like, when it comes to my boys, like, I always try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to certain things, certain areas in my life, I realize what I learned, what I carried with, and how indirectly things have manifested itself.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these like last three sessions. And I know a lot of men probably, I'm not alone in that. So even when you do your best, you can feel like it's not good enough. But I also know that my father feels that way too. So when he comes to, and that's the first words he utter.
Yep.
It's acknowledgement of, damn, I fucked up. Then I had to deal with this shit. And I can't say nothing, but I finally get it out.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, I know the way that I might have reacted to things during that time wasn't the best, but probably was needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I always stood by the fear that something would happen. And it's probably why I let certain things slide, because I wouldn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sitting there looking at him. And then also, like it's being the oldest, as you know,
mm-hmm.
the weight that carries. And I know I'm strong in a lot of areas. I realized at that moment I ain't strong enough for that yet.
And that's okay. And that's okay. That just goes to show you that you human, bro.
Yeah.
You know, as much as you try to be Superman and be resilient, you know, it's okay, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that just goes to show you that, you know what I'm saying? You are human, and that's perfectly okay, bro. And
and it's not just because of that.
Right.
I try to find humor in everything. Yeah. Cause it helps me.
Yep.
And boy, I found humor in the dysfunction of my family.
Yeah.
My brother and my sister wanted to whoop my younger brother's ass. My mom walked off and was talking to somebody else, another patient in the triage.
Yeah.
I'm calling my father's siblings and shit to get to talk to him. And I'm trying to hold this shit together. Everybody, like, all of them, like, so how you doing? I'm like, I ain't really about that right now. But I'm just looking at all of this shit. I'm like, yo, I'm not ready to deal with this shit too, because I kind of feel alone right now. Like, how you gonna help me? How you supposed to help me? Mm-hmm. And everything. And being that I'm much older than my siblings, I was just like, oh, I'm not ready to be dad. Mm-hmm. Now, my father is out the hospital. He mm-hmm. got out Saturday night. And he popped up here yesterday, him and my little brother. And like unannounced. I'm like, man, why you ain't called me before you was on the way? And second of all, why are you out? It's cold outside. You just got out the hospital on Saturday. Hey, fam, what the fuck are we doing here? And he got the limp still. He got the little limp on his left side. And basically, he apologizes in his own way. Mm-hmm. And I think then at that moment, I felt better about a number of things. One, I felt, it's weird enough, it's like I stood on my principles. But I also didn't desert them. Mm-hmm. And luckily, nothing happened to where I regret it. Because the funny thing about all of this is The Rock put out a post about his father passing mm-hmm. and how they got into it over Christmas, and they didn't get a chance to fix it. Like, all of that happened. But it made me feel better about standing the principles and nothing happened. But it also felt good to hear I'm sorry. I ain't used to that.
Yeah.
At all. I am used to, hey, man, it is what it is, more than anything, to the point where
right.
Miriam understood. We had a conversation. Miriam understood why I say it is what it is a lot. It's like, man, people gonna do what they want to do regardless. Mm-hmm. But also, this taught me to not take for granted, like, a lot of shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also believe that because of certain things, I can take things for granted. I realized, especially these last three sessions, that I deal with a lot that I ain't even realized I dealt with because I thought it was normal. And it almost took one moment to make all of this shit worse. And the crazy thing also too, Mike, I canceled my therapy session on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Like, I canceled it. And the time I was supposed to be in therapy is the time I'm in the hospital. But it made me also feel good about how, like, I talk to the boys and try to get them words of affirmations. I be real, like, Trey, you suck at hoops right now. But you suck at ball right now. You can't dribble the ball, fam. But, hey, man, I know you can get better. Landon, you getting on my nerves, fam, but mm-hmm. you gonna be all right. Like, Liam was up. I ain't really had no sleep. Liam ass was up at, we went to sleep early. And this nigga was up talking about some, I want to play Monster Truck. And we was like, yo, it's 11 o'clock. What the fuck? Now we about to be up all night because this motherfucker want to play Monster Truck. I just realized that I'm doing a better job at certain things with my boys. But then it also made me feel good that my father realized some shit too.
Yeah.
My father is what? 19. My father be 69 this year.
I think our fathers are the same age. My father might be 68.
67. Him and my uncle will be 69 this year. And the one thing, like, my father, I say all this shit, but my father come from Greenwood, Mississippi. All he know is work, that's it, and family. He don't know shit else. Like, outside of watching football, I don't think my father could really tell you like things he loves that right. don't have to do with family.
Yeah.
And while that's a good thing, fam, you got to have an identity for yourself. And I also learned that I am just like him. Like, being real, I couldn't tell you a lot of shit that I like. I couldn't tell you a lot of things that I really enjoy.
Right.
I don't travel. Like, your ass went to Miami by yourself.
I didn't go to Miami by myself. Let's not put that in the air. I did not go to Miami. I went to Miami with one of my homies.
You went to Miami.
Who's a married man as well with a family, with a child, wife.
By yourself,
and we ran to Miami real quick. We went to Miami real quick for, you know what I'm saying?
What'd you run?
Before Christmas. We were in Miami for Christmas. We made it back Christmas morning to our families. Never mind
but,
that.
But no, like how you got the, like, you bowl, you got hobbies, you got shit outside of. And I had to figure that out. Like, I love my daddy to death, but I can't be that.
Yeah.
And that taught me that everything just can't revolve around one thing. But
yo, be cool, coach. Be cool. Be cool.
Hey, yeah.
Be cool, what did you run? Bro. What did you run, fam? I didn't run anything, bro.
But
we hopped on the plane with the Miami real quick. Went to the Cowboys Dolphins game. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys lost, and I got back home Christmas morning.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Go ahead.
But yeah, man, I just learned a lot in these last like 3 weeks, and plus with my father's situation, it's like, yeah, you got to figure it out, man. You don't want to be at a certain age trying to figure it out. But at the same time, I think I looked in his face and he like, yo, I got to figure it out. Even I love y'all, but I got to figure it out. But it does revolve around y'all.
Yeah.
But man, that moment, gee, I just like, yo, this ain't it.
Yeah.
This ain't it, Chief. And he had said something when he was over here. He said that when we left him at the hospital on Friday, he said that he went to sleep. They turned the TV off. He woke up. He looked to the right where we were sitting at, and he saw my grandmother and grandfather, his mom and dad. He said he put the cover over his head real quick because he's like, yo, what the fuck? But basically, they were just like, yo, it ain't time yet. Like, I hope he also saw that and know that you still got, there's a way you say things, right? And that's something that I'm noticing too. And I got to do a better job at. He said that they said that it ain't your time yet. Mm-hmm. I hope my father understood that that also meant that you got time. And I want to say that again. Somebody tells you that it's not your time yet. I hope you understand that that means that you got time.
Right.
Because everybody don't get that back. I am starting to realize that I got time and I got a chance to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he understands that too. I got to do a better job at not focusing on work all the time and having fun with what I do and taking in some of those accomplishments that you and others told me that I got to do a better job at doing. Yeah. And knowing and understand what I've done, it's difficult because that's not how I grew up and that's not how I've been around and gotten, but I just got to do a better job at that. But weirdly enough, and most notably, I realized that I am not as strong when it comes to certain things that I thought I am. And as you said, it's okay.
Yep.
I can come around and just think everything is okay And I can say that everything is not okay, but I still might be lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't okay on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and probably parts of Monday. It didn't get better until today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the first day that I didn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But I promise myself, I promise all of the homies, that I have to do a better job at celebrating life and enjoying things.
Yeah.
Because even with me saying all what I said, you want to know when I knew my father was going to be okay, Mike?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, again, Pops has a mini stroke. He's unresponsive. We still trying to figure it out. I call siblings. I call my cousin Jennifer. And you want to know what he told my cousin Jennifer? And we beat the Packers' ass. Yeah, we beat the Packers' ass, didn't we? He was enough to say, fuck them Packers.
Yeah.
That's his enjoyment. Like, when he said that shit, I was like, yo, he's straight.
Yeah,
he gonna be all right. And he was. Yeah. And he is. And I appreciate, I'm thankful. I'm appreciative of all of that. But it taught me a lesson that is okay to not be okay. It's okay to break down. It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to be worried. It's okay to not have all the answers. Cause I ain't got none of them bitches.
Mm-hmm.
But we figured out now all of the other shit family wise, we figured that shit out. Cause we good. But this is other shit that gotta be.
Absolutely. That's still to be determined.
Oh man, it's still other shit. This is to be determined.
Absolutely. But it's, you know what though, Bang. I'm gonna piggyback off that real quick because it's funny that you brought up that your old man had a health scare this past week because mine's did too this past week. So I keep this one short too because I mean. And it's cool that, you know what I'm saying, we this is like therapy almost, you know what I'm saying? We out here, you know, having mental health checks and, you know, speaking on life and everything like that, just to bring, you know, awareness to all the men out there that, you know, mental health matters. And, you know, it's okay to express yourself about all of that, you know. But my old man, he had a health scare last Wednesday. My stepmom, you know, my father lives in Milwaukee, so he's not close to me. So I have to, you know, anything that happens is communicated to me over phone first. So my stepmom, she texted me and was like, you know, your old man's in the, you know, your dad's in the ICU. He had, in a nutshell, irregular heartbeat and RSV?
RSV, yeah. I had that.
Okay. So yeah, he had, so something was going on with that, and I'm gonna keep this one close. I'm gonna try to break this down as short as possible. So pretty much my old man's a very stubborn person. So my stepmom told me that, you know, that he had this, he had that, and then and he had water on his lungs and everything like that. So he needed to get treatment done, so forth. I get updates from her, and she says that he's doing better. He's supposed to get out of the hospital on Friday, this past Friday. He calls me on Thursday and, you know, saying, tells me the same thing. Like, yeah, everything's going good. But I know my dad, very stubborn man. So I know kind of like he's telling me he's good, but some to this. So I get an update on Friday from my stepmom, and she's telling me, you know, that they was gonna do like a shock on his heart, and some other treatment that needed to be done. It's possible that he could go home Friday, but, you know, we'll see. Get another update later, says that he checks himself out of the hospital, so he doesn't get the treatment that he's.
Damn.
Yeah, so he doesn't get the treatment that he's supposed to get, and he doesn't get, like, you know, he's supposed to stay and wait on medication. before he checks himself out. He doesn't stay and wait on the medication. So forth. So I talked to my stepmom on the phone. I'm talking to her, and you know, this was Friday. So I talked to her, and you know, I'm like, where's he at? Like, he's asleep. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll call him Saturday morning. I call him. I ain't gonna wake him up if he sleeps. So I call him the next morning. My daughter was getting ready to go bowl in the tournament on Saturday. So I call him and I'm like, yo, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. He like, man, I'm good. Blah, blah, blah. He get the rambling. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't, da, da, da. You know, just stubborn rant of I'm okay. I'm good. You know, I got medication here. You know, I'm like, all right. So I just go off on him low key. Like, look, dude, you need to take care of this. You need to take care of that. You know, and listen to everybody that's telling you what you need to do, you know. And then my aunties, they up there as well in Milwaukee, and they, you know, they help with looking after him and, you know what I'm saying, keeping up with everything that he got going on because he's the oldest. So, you know what I'm saying, they keeping up with him, you know what I'm saying? So, and he's just disregarding everything and everybody. So, you know, I go off on him. I'm telling him, he hung up the phone on me. I'm like, all right, cool. That's cool. We talk later. So the way I was feeling at that moment, though, I was feeling at that moment was like, look, man, you're not finna put me through this. You know, I'm grieving the loss of my mother, who I have lost less than a year ago. You not gonna do this to me.
You better get your shit straight.
You not finna do this to me, fam. So you need to take care of what you need to take care of, fam. So, you know, that one. So, I mean, I talked to him again after that. And, you know, he sounds like he's getting better with my stepmom. She's keeping me updated on him and everything like that. So, you know, just like everything you saying right there, babe, like it just so happens that it's just crazy, bro. That all that hits close to home.
But, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so just look, prayers up for our old man, bro.
Yeah.
Prayers up to him, G.
Prayers so, up to these niggas.
Because they
stubborn-ass niggas.
Stubborn-ass niggas. But what they need to know is that it ain't their time yet.
Right? Yeah.
So they still got lots of living to do. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what I, when I had got sick, that's part of what I had. It's like, nah, we gonna get that straight. But yeah, y'all niggas take care of yourself.
And, facts,
and yeah. And when it comes to, I mean, we can't stress enough on this part. Hey man, we ain't too strong for this shit. Like if in fact, hey, we've admitted a couple of times, like, hey, things ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that I got my therapy session on Thursday. And look, I love my therapist to death.
Yeah.
And when this comes up, I already know what she's gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's gonna be like, so what happened? Is that why you canceled? Like, no, actually, I ain't canceled for that reason. But I probably would have to leave if I know she gonna be like, all right, yeah, we let's get to it. Get to it. Shouts out to Rhonda. She's a godson. All right, so yeah, that's that mental health check for the day, fellas. Check on your family. Hey, check on your pops too, if he in your life.
Yep.
If you don't know that nigga, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Just kind of, no, totally understand. But check on your pops, check on your peoples too.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of check on your peoples, Mike, if I could play Celebration, I play it. Mike, I am so.
What are we clapping for, babe? What happened? Who we clapping for?
Hey, man. When they announced that Ben Johnson is new head coach of Chicago Bears, nothing against Mike McCarthy, but I've heard you enough on this podcast say fuck Mike McCarthy.
Look, bro,
so it's embedded in my mind. Like, I don't want that nigga.
I think y'all got the right guy,
man.
I got the right guy.
Chicago Bears hired Ben Johnson, former offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, as their new head coach, 19th head coach in team history.
Ew.
Man, Mike. Hottest name on the coaching market. This might be 3 years in a row that the Bears won the offseason. I'm going to ignore the YouTube comment. No, you know what? I'm not. I'm going to shout out. Speaking of what we just got through talking about, I'm going to give Scott some love. We was giving Scott hell in the text group, mm-hmm. in the I Ain't Gonna Hold You text group. Scott ain't been wanting to talk about who going to be the head coach for the last couple of days, because between me and Mikey and Dante a little bit, we've been giving that man hell. We've been giving that man hell enough that I'm shocked he ain't fired us. I'm shocked he ain't say, fuck y'all. I'm going to have a new cast of characters because y'all getting on my nerves. Anytime somebody name pop up, he'd be like, hey, what you think about this? Scott, hey, I ain't talking about none of this shit until Ben Johnson ain't our coach. When they start talking about the Raiders, Mikey, hey, Tom Brady, no Tom Brady on him. You know, Tom Brady, one of the greatest white men of all time. Oh, nah, hey. If he go over there, murderer's row, he's stupid. Scott held his ground. So I'm going to also congratulate our leader on Barbershed Digital, Scott, for staying strong when we was putting a lot of dark in his way. Ben Johnson, new head coach, and I get to say this on this pod again. Nobody give a fuck about the Detroit Lions. But the Detroit Lions.
Listen to me, bang. Listen to me, fam. Listen to me, bro. I need it. I need it. The Detroit Lions to get to the Super Bowl, bro, so I could relive that clip, okay? Because that would have solidified it right there that, you know, the Detroit Lions belong in the NFL. Like, you know, in that conversation of those teams that's exciting to watch year in and year out. But they failed. They fucking failed.
Yeah.
I had no dog in the fight, you know what I'm saying? But at that time when we ran that clip, when that clip went viral, you know, it was the Detroit Lions was on a rise. They were moving on up, you know. But, you know, shit happens. Shit fucking happens.
Here's how this could have been double bad for me, Mike. For those who don't know, I lived in the DMV area for about 5 years. I moved to Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yeah.
In 2016, excuse me. I've had to hear Commanders, Redskins, Commanders, Redskins, Commanders. I've had to hear all that shit. Bears was good. The double doink day. I still remember what happened before the double doink. I was living in a high rise. I went and pay a dude $25 for his recliner because he was moving. He gave him the $25. I went to go get the recliner. I sat in that motherfucking recliner. I'm like, yo, it's lit. We about to beat Philadelphia. The double doink happened. The dude knocked on my door after the double doink and was like, yo, you straight? You good? You straight? I was like, nah, fam. I was like, I ain't good. He's like, man, it's going to be okay. But, man, that's a fucked up way to lose. All of that happened while I was there. But in some of those cases, I was always able to say, my team is better than yours. I'm in a text group with a number of people out there at the station. And I was always able to say, your team ain't shit. We get the number one pick. They got the number two pick. We get Caleb. They get Jaden, and we supposed to have the best setup of a team ever for the number one pick. Their team that's worse than us. They team supposed to be Huff.
My.
The Commanders is supposed to be Huff. I supposed to be cheering, being in the text group. Ha ha, Rick Chill. Y'all ain't shit. Ha ha. I ain't been right with them since the Hail Mary.
And now they one game from the Super Bowl.
They one game from the Super Bowl. But then you hear me say, don't nobody give a damn about the Detroit Lions, but the Detroit Lions. So the two teams that I don't want to see succeed outside of the Green Bay Packers, they're in the playoffs. Now, I'm thinking, oh, Detroit got this. Boy, was I wrong.
What was we all wrong?
We was all wrong. And I ain't gonna fret, Mike. I would have rather Detroit win than the Commanders win.
That's an easier pill to swallow. because the Commanders win is a little more personal.
Yeah, and
closer
Detroit's
to home.
The number one seed.
So they expected to win.
Detroit is expected to win. They got the better team. You think I want to hear Jaden Daniels is way better than Caleb Williams for the rest of the playoffs? People be talking about Caleb Williams like Caleb Williams had the worst season ever.
Yeah, I would love for that narrative to die. It will eventually. It's okay. I mean, anybody that knows better knows better. Okay, like, you know, obviously you got the
Look here, man. Chris Canty one comment away from me calling him big ass bitch. Like, he is. I respect Chris Canty and his wife from the crib. So, gotta respect that. But he's won Caleb Williams this away from me really being disrespectful to a man that's like 6'7", 300 pounds. And I probably shouldn't do that. But that's how mad Chris Canty gets me. Mm-hmm. What I don't like is the context that's given or not given. Again, people talk about Caleb Williams like he had the worst season ever. The man threw for 3,500 yards. Mm-hmm. I think 20 touchdowns. Not a lot of interceptions. Could his QBR been better? Yeah. They don't talk about the lack of coaching this dude had between Shane Waldron and Eberflus. They don't talk about none of that shit. It's, oh, man, Jake, the fans, not even the fans of the Commanders, media is going to make me hate Jaden Daniels. Not the Commanders, not fans of the Commanders, not the text group, the media. The media is going to hate, make me hate a man that I don't need to hate because I think that they both going to have great careers. And if you look at the 80s, the Bears and the Redskins, now Commanders, you go talk to an old Commander or Redskin or talk to an old Bear. They don't like them niggas. Mm-hmm. I personally talked to a couple that was like, we don't like them Bears, fam. We had games. Y'all going to make me hate that man because y'all putting this man on a pedestal and y'all act like Caleb Williams threw for 2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 20 interceptions. But in that game, it's like, yo, I got to deal with.
Oh, and also, I'd be to bring up the sore spot, you know, obviously. And then, go ahead. You know, his Hail Mary to win the game actually started the downslide.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody ever brought that up to you, but, you know.
Yes.
They could have bring that up to you and used that as ammunition as well. But, you know, I digress. Go ahead. My bad. Just wanted to make sure we touched all.
It's a very. It's still.
Yeah.
A sore spot, Mike.
Yeah.
That the Bears was 4-2.
Yeah.
And we don't win a game until Green Bay, bruh. I'm pissed. Still pissed. Angry that they would allow a goddamn Hail Mary to do what is done. I'm still pissed.
I don't know if we ever seen a Hail Mary ruin a team season.
Bruh.
Have we ever seen something like that before?
Man.
The Hail Mary ruins the opposing team's
season. I ain't never seen it. But, again,
Bang, bang, bang. You got that DMV in your blood, bro. You know what I'm saying? Go Commanders.
No. No. And here's the other part. Who do they go against? They going against the Eagles, who defeated us with the double doink.
Damn.
And when the Eagles lost. See, this is how my work and life is just combined with each other, and it pisses me off. It pisses me off. You got the Commanders. I lived out there. They got Jaden. He has a rookie of the year season, and they treat your quarterback like this motherfucker was Zach Wilson. You got them going up against Detroit, who you hate and have hated since the 90s. And you tell them last year, nobody give a damn about the Detroit Lions but the Detroit Lions. And all of a sudden, they win 15 games this season. So yo don't give a damn shit. They talking about that's New America's team. And then you got to go up against, one of them got to go up against the Eagles, who you lose to with the double doink. And people you work with, shouts out to Weso, shouts out to my homie Justin, shouts out to my homie Blogs. They from Philly. They from the tri-state area.
Yes, sir.
So they sitting up there looking at you. Ha, ha. Detroit folks. Ha, ha. Commanders folks. Ha, ha. And you sitting up there. But we won today, Mike. You know how we won double against the Detroit Lions? Because we took their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator might be going to the Jets. So let's see how good Dan Campbell is over there for real.
Okay.
When your offensive and defensive coordinator is gone. Okay. I can't say that Jaden Daniels is going to have the same season that he had this year, next year. Go look at C.J. Stroud. They was all on C.J. Stroud's nuts all last year. Oh, man, best rookie quarterback season ever. He won the playoff game. Yada, 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 yada. Oh, the Bears might have not should have taken a pass on C.J. Stroud. His offensive line might be huff. But he ain't had that same season. He tried the big bro, Caleb Williams. And looking at the stats, who had the better season, CJ? I think we're going to be okay with Ben Johnson. And they talking about possibly Dennis Allen being the defensive coordinator. Let's be real, man. I don't think Dennis Allen getting another head coaching job. I don't think he's going to get, like, three chances. Mm-hmm. Now, to Daryl's point, I hope that he is not Adam Gase part two. I do hope that. But I think there's been enough signs to say that's not going to be the case. And I do like the fact that he's in the division because he knows who he's going up against. He's not going like outside. And no, he knows Minnesota. He knows Green Bay. He knows the Detroit Lions. And hey, you know the Bears. And here's the thing, and this is probably the best thing about the Ben Johnson thing. I think he wanted to be a Bear all along. I think Ben Johnson wanted to be a Bear this whole entire time.
You mean the whole, like, the whole Ryan Poles era time?
So there was a report. There was a report that said that Ben Johnson was interested in the Bears job last season.
Okay.
When the Commanders and when – and hey, I ain't argue with you, Daryl. Just know. Just know. You can chat all you want to. This ain't that pod. You go to – wait till Friday if I ain't going to hold you. Ben Johnson was courted by the Commanders. He was courted by the Carolina Panthers. There are reports that said that he was interested in the Bears position. It's also reports that Ryan Poles wanted to fire Eberflus last season. But the organization said, nah, we gonna keep him. If the Bears fire Eberflus, I think Ben Johnson is already here. Ben Johnson was courted by the Patriots with Drake May. He was courted by the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, and he was courted by the Las Vegas Raiders, who ain't got nobody. Who they quarterback? I don't know. And, hey, look, and there's more than five people watching there. You ain't got to be here. Matter of fact, let's just do this right here. Buyout. All right. So, yeah. So, it could have been all of that. But it wasn't. He stayed 15-2. Boom. And look what happened. He ended up with the team in the first place. I'm happy. I'm happy with it. I have faith in it. I have faith that this was the right choice. And I think this is going to be good for Caleb. And if they get Dennis Allen as the DC, I think this is going to be big because now you have somebody that's going to be the head coach of the defense. The Saints defense was a top 10 defense when he was there, and they run similar 4-3 schemes and stuff. He's a little bit more aggressive. They only tailed off when they lost people. There's potential about who's going to be the new special teams coach. I like what could potentially happen when it comes to this Bears team. I'm not going to jump out the body like I did.
We had one hell of a preseason, man. When we were making predictions, we flew off the handle a little bit, you know, the both of us. So, yeah, I like the way you're keeping it a little below the belt, you know, nothing too crazy, but you still see the positivity in it. So I like it. I'm cool with it too. I'm rocking with y'all. I'm happy for y'all. Happy Chicago Bears got their guy. I'm happy y'all didn't get McCarthy. It seems like McCarthy only has one more possibility, and that's the Saints. And who knows if that's gonna play out for him?
So. Yeah. So, I am geeked about this, and we'll see what happens.
And you know what's crazy too? Like you said, we was talking about rolling out the red carpet for McCarthy. They didn't roll out no red carpet for Ben Johnson. They literally rolled out the red carpet for McCarthy, wined and dined them.
They said he wanted to go. Like, what?
Wined and dined them and said, we're going to get right back to you. Hold on. Soon as Detroit lose, hey, Ben Johnson, you're hired.
Hey, hilarious. Hey. We talked about it on I Ain't Gonna Hold You, how I'm not a big fan of the Rooney Rule because of the way that it's used.
Yeah.
But damn it, when they interviewed Eddie George, I was like, wait a minute, hold the fuck on. Then I was like, wait a minute. Scott was like, oh, no, Rooney Rule. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
To the benefit. Like, I don't think, look, you can't tell me Eddie George went to the, until they showed me a picture, Eddie George ain't go to goddamn Hallis Hall. They did that interview at O'Hare Airport.
Hilarious.
They did that shit by the gate. They did
He didn't even make it into the cities, really.
Nah, man. If he did, they went to White Palace Grill, fam. That's what they did that interview at. They did that shit at White Palace.
Man.
Like, yo, we just gonna go here. We gonna
how
talk.
Y'all do, how y'all do Eddie George like that, man?
Hey, look, they gotta show me a picture of Eddie George at Hallis Hall.
Eddie George knew he wasn't getting that job, huh?
Yeah, hey. Hey, Ryan Poles was like, hey, Eddie, do us the solid. We need one more interview. I bet. Shit.
That's crazy.
The wife going to be shopping at the merchandise mart. She'll be at the Magnificent Mile. Hey, let's go ahead and do that. We're going to go ahead and do that. Like, that's, in this case, the Rooney Rule worked.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm cool with the hire. We're going to see what happens. But for you, my brother, is it going to be Kellen Moore?
Bro,
I saw somewhere that Brian Schottenheimer is the favorite. I was like, why? Yo, owner / GM.
Bang. I can't.
Fucked all this up.
I think I said it last week. I can't call it. I don't know. I don't know which direction we are headed here. A feeling, a piece of me is thinking Kellen Moore. And I don't think we're really going to hear his name anymore being brought up because we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Philly in the playoffs. You know, I think the longer we don't hear anything, I think it favors Kellen Moore if we don't hear anything else. I would love Robert Saleh. I would be cool with that, but don't seem like it's going to go in that direction. It looked like he might be headed to Jacksonville, but we'll see. So Kellen Moore might be the guy. I think we just wait and see what happens with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders.
But are you cool with that, though?
Honestly, Bang, I'm not. I'm not. But he's been in position to get a head coaching job these past couple seasons. He's been taking interviews and everything like that. He's been a heavy candidate with a lot of teams. So, I mean, he felt like it's time. So, hey, and he's familiar with the system. He's, you know. So, hey, I'll be cool with it at this point, Bang. I honestly don't even know. I don't think a head coach is going to really, like, determine.
You said that they need to break the team up.
I didn't say that.
You did. You said blow this shit up.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I don't remember saying that.
You can't. He's like, blow this shit up.
You can't blow it up. At this point,
we can't let go of Dak, but we got to let go of everybody else. Ain't nothing else. You like, Micah got to go. He podcasts too much.
I said, when we were talking about Micah Parsons being traded, like, would I be cool with Micah Parsons being traded and like for like, you know, like a top 10 pick?
Y'all want the Carolina Panthers pick?
I said I was cool with that. I said I wouldn't mind that.
Now, so we give y'all that Carolina Panthers number two.
It ain't going to happen, though. Micah Parsons is stuck on being in Dallas, and I think they're going to make a way. And he said he don't need a max. He don't need a max deal. He's okay with not taking a max. He said that, too. So he said he cool. That's what he said. He said he cool with the money being spread out, you know, for other needs of the team. He said he cool with not taking a max deal. That's what he said on his podcast. So I feel like they're gonna find a way to work that out with Micah Parsons. You can't blow it up. I mean, at this point, I do think we need to go running back, though. You know, I think we need to go running back.
Was homie from Boise?
Yes. And I think we should keep Rico. And we need to, you know what? What I think what's not talked about enough, well, obviously, shout out to the resurgence of the running back, because the running back game right now in the NFL is great. Yeah. But I think the tag team type of thing, like the Detroit Lions got with Gibbs and Montgomery, I think that needs to be explored more in the NFL. You know, I think that needs to be explored more, like a two running back tandem.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, but that's not really a thing now. It's not a thing now. But it is with the Detroit Lions, and it works. So I think we need to see something like that. I think if we go in that direction, keep Rico, because Rico had a good back half of the season. And, you know, he kind of like, you know, came out of his shell. And he was, you know, had some great games. So you could see the potential there. And I think you go get another running back. Trade for Tyreek Hill. Boom. The Cowboys are back, but I ain't finna go ahead and get my hopes up on none of that shit, because you know how this goes. But at the end of the day, though, I don't feel like a head coach is gonna determine whether the Cowboys are gonna be great next season.
Y'all gonna be better than the Commanders next season?
I don't know. You know how the NFC East is, bro. We haven't had back to back.
Where do y'all sit? Like, do you feel?
I don't know. I feel like it could be a possible NFC North situation.
Do you feel like the Cowboys is the third best team for real? Like
currently,
in the East?
Currently, right now, they're the
like,
third
without,
best
team. Put records aside. Just look
records,
at each team.
Records aside, if you look at each team, the Cowboys are the third best team in the NFC East. Next season could be a possible
NFC. So you feel North like the Commanders roster
is better.
Top to bottom is better.
Yes, yes, absolutely. They are solidified. They got the quarterback. They got their number one wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? They got their running back one and running back two, Eckler. You know, they got Zach Ertz, who has emerged back into greatness. You know what I'm saying? And they got the other wide receiver too, the one that Damani Brown. They got him. He getting paid. The one that Amon St. Brown said went ahead of him. He was on Amon Ross St. Brown's list. And he just went off. You know, had himself a game. So they gonna pay him. So they look very, you know what I'm saying, set to continue on. I don't see a potential playoff hangover when it comes to the Commanders. I think they're only gonna get better. But and I can see the Cowboys being that third team, and I can see like the Cowboys being an NFC East. I mean, an NFC North type of situation where you got the Lions, you got the Packers, and then you got the Detroit Lions, those being like, you know what I'm saying, three good teams out of one division. I can see that possibly happening. No, okay. No shade to the Bears, you know what I'm saying, because I think the Bears are going to eventually get right. I don't know. Have we had like a division that's dominated like the whole division? Is that even possible?
I mean, it is.
Like you have all four teams from one division. Make yeah, it to the
it's possible. They just, it, I don't think it's happened since they did this realignment, but it is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, a number of people thought it was going to happen in the NFC North, but
and I agree with this comment right here. Eddie saying the Cowboys is not a desirable coaching job. And I think I said that as well. I agreed with Troy Aikman when he said that on Monday Night Football. When he was
see, okay, here's my question.
It's not desirable because of Jerry Jones. Because Jerry Jones is not, is Jerry Jones is always the one that's looking, he's the one owner GM that's looking over the coach's shoulder.
So that job, so
it's not desirable.
So the question that I have for you, because I hear that and I'm like, yeah, but it's still the Dallas Cowboys.
Of course.
Like, you mean to tell me that Dak, at the very least, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons is not good enough to make that job desirable enough to be like, yo, fuck Jerry Jones, I'll deal with it. But they got three.
It's to an extent.
And you got Diggs who's coming off the injury. But you,
when you look at it like this, Bang, because look, you have those three players. We've already been to the postseason 2 years with those three players. So the talent is there. The wins are there, but it's like, what are we doing once we get past the postseason? Do we have enough key pieces on the team to make that next step? And that's okay. Where the GM comes into place. And the GM is Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones ain't giving full, you know what I'm saying? Hey, here, dog, this is yours. So, you take care of this
so
shit.
So if we out here looking at that, you mean to tell, I'm just asking the question. You mean to tell me that Brian Schottenheimer is the best we could do?
Dude.
I'll just ask the questions.
I don't know, man.
Like, Kellen Moore, I get. All right? Kellen Moore, I get. But I don't. I mean, we could talk about the Ben Johnson thing all day long. You got the little clown-ass dude.
That I told you who about. I wanted. I wanted I wanted Belichick. That's who I wanted. I wanted Bill Belichick. I wish he didn't take that. I feel like if he didn't take that North Carolina job so soon, Belichick would have been shoo-in.
So I'm just asking questions at this point. I'm just asking questions. I ain't got no dog in the fight.
Yeah.
All I'm just saying is that, damn, you got a quarterback that's damn paid. You got CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver that's paid, and you got Michael Parsons. You do need to do rebuild their work on the offensive line and stuff. You got a decent running back. You got a division that's winnable. And the best you can do is a third or fourth tier. That's what I'm saying. Like,
what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
When I hear
up out the door to get that job.
When I hear the Deion Sanders thing, honestly, if I'm Deion Sanders, only reason why we got this conversation because, Jerry, you my mans and you pay me a lot of money. But I'd rather stay my ass in the Big 12. When I look at Robert Saleh, I'm like, I just got through dealing with bullshit with the owner of the goddamn New York Jets. I think I want to stay away from that shit right there.
Okay.
Kellen Moore, I was over there. Y'all could have gave me that goddamn job if y'all wanted to. But y'all didn't do it. I had to go over here to the goddamn Philadelphia Eagles. And
get over. He went to what you call?
Oh, it? San Diego. I have to go to San Diego to kick it with Justin Herbert, and then Brandon Staley get fired. Now I got to go over here with the Eagles.
Where's Brandon Staley at? Where is he at?
He's the linebackers coach of somebody.
Ew.
But I got to go over here with the goddamn Eagles and shit with Justin. Was not Justin. What's my man's name? Jalen Hurts. Who? If you let Scott tell it, he huff.
He's tough. Look, Jalen Hurts is one more bad postseason game for being off. He right on the
board. AJ Brown gonna throw that book at his ass.
He right at the borderline of being huff. G.
He gonna throw that book at him.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, Kellen Moore and Brian Schottenheimer are your leading candidates?
Hey, look, if it's anybody, I'm picking Kellen Moore only because, hey, he's familiar. Kellen Moore would almost be equivalent to Jason Garrett. It's just like one of those guys. But I was cool with Jason Garrett. I liked Jason Garrett. It just wasn't enough done to get us over the hump. But hey,
I'm saying all this shit, and we just hired Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson could be Adam Gase for all we know. Mm-hmm. I doubt it, but he can be. But how am I supposed to get excited, Kellen Moore being the coach?
I'm not excited. That's what I'm saying. Whoever they hire, I'm not going to be excited unless his name is Bill Belichick. So I have no expectations on who should be the head coach or who do I think should be the head coach. I honestly have no clue which direction they should go as far as a head coach, unless his name is Bill Belichick. If it ain't Bill Belichick, I ain't interested. I wasn't even interested in Deion Sanders. I'm glad that talk got put to bed. I hope the talks of him coming to the NFL gets put to bed. But again, I'm not interested in anybody as a head coach of the Dallas Cowboys unless their name is Bill Belichick. Anybody else is just I'm cool with it. I don't have anything else because when they hired Mike McCarthy, I was like, yeah, I'm with this. I'm cool with it. And I was let down. So I'm not putting my expectations
up. 3-12 win season?
Yeah, bro. But again,
enough
wasn't done. We didn't make it to an NFC championship game. We didn't make it to NFC. That's why. That's where we need to be. We haven't been to an NFC championship game since 1995. Is that the statistic? Is that what it is? Since the last time we won a Super Bowl is the last time the Dallas Cowboys have been to an NFC championship game. That's why. So it's a letdown if we don't get to the NFC championship game. And the NFC championship game is the ceiling right now for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, the ceiling is the roof, according to Michael Jordan. I just don't know. Like, we sitting over as Bears fans excited about Ben Johnson being our next head coach.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones is going to try to get y'all excited about Kellen Moore.
It is. And then when he signs.
Or Brian Schottenheimer.
When he signs, I'm cool. I'm going to be like, hey. Congratulations. Well, let's see what you can do, buddy.
Damn.
Let's see what you can do, buddy.
I don't know what to say, Mike. I don't know what to say. Hey,
what's Pete Carroll doing? I'm cool with Pete Carroll too. Why haven't we gotten Pete Carroll on the phone?
That's why
if
you're gonna try to get old ass Bill Belichick,
Bill Belichick is not available, maybe Pete Carroll ain't interested. See, again, maybe he's just not interested. That's to Troy Aikman's point. The Dallas Cowboys job is just not likable now at this point.
That's wild.
Jerry Jones has put it out there that he has no interest in giving up the GM position, bro. And I think people might steer coaches away because that man still living in 1995.
Wow. All I'm saying is,
because why is it Pete Carroll's name being brought up here? He was in line, said he wanted, he was interested in the Bears job. Why ain't he interested in the Cowboys job? Why haven't we heard a report come out that says Pete Carroll is interested in the Dallas Cowboys job?
Is there a name that if they're hired, you like, fuck this shit, I'm out? Out of all the names that you saw,
no.
Who is the one that you better not? Who's the one name you do not want to hear?
What coaches are there that's like bad? Like, who's that not? Like, who's unemployed right now?
Let me look at the Dallas Cowboys candidates.
Who was unemployed? Look, if they would have hired Josh McDaniels, then yeah, I'd have been like, fuck this shit, I'm out. But he went back to New England.
Dude, that's wild. Like, that nigga, that's
he went back to New England. So he's under he's a defensive coordinator over there. So that's good for him. But he sucked in Vegas and he was terrible. So if they would have hired Josh McDaniels or his name would have been popping up as eligible coaches, then yeah. Fuck this shit. I'm out of here. But there's nobody else, bang.
Well, Brian Schottenheimer is the betting favorite to get the job. Brian Schottenheimer, the son of coaching legend Marty Schottenheimer. He is, I think he's the offensive coordinator. Well, no, he's on the staff. Yeah, he's the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, but he's technically not even the offensive coordinator because Mike McCarthy called the plays. Mike McCarthy was the real offensive coordinator, but you know, whatever. If he wanted, that's we want to know what's crazy to me is that, now y'all want to promote within when you could have just promoted Dan Quinn.
Hey, Eddie, I am watching Landman right now. Like, hey, Eddie, while we doing the pod, I got Landman currently on the TV as we pod. And Landman is a wild show. Landman just let me know that sometimes I would love to just be white to see how it feels. Because this is a lot of white people shit that's happening in this goddamn show. Like a lot of rich Fort Worth, Texas white people shit that's going on in this show. Yeah. Like this is wild. Hey, before we get out of here, last topic, Drake and Kendrick Lamar. The Drake lawsuit, we talked about it. I don't think we got to spend too long on this, but I know that you had some very thoughtful comments when all this came out. Now it's a defamation lawsuit. It's not a petition. It's a defamation lawsuit right now. Now, when you add that, like lyrics of Kendrick Lamar's music.
Oh, that came out. That came out after the pod. We didn't talk about this last week.
No. Okay, this now a defamation lawsuit.
Yeah.
We talked about the petition.
Okay. Yeah.
Now it's a lawsuit. I'm not gonna ask you the easy question. I'm gonna ask you the difficult question. Do you see a world where people don't give a fuck about Drake no more?
Yes.
He's the highest streaming artist in the world still, Mike.
Bang. I said this last week on the pod. I said, he's making it very hard for you to actually like him, even as a person, as an artist. As an artist, he's likable because you rock with his music. But the more that this shit progresses, you know, the more the antics, all this shit is just making you not like him overall. Did you see what I shared in the group yesterday?
Yeah.
About what the alleged banning of the merchandise that you can't wear at his Australian show. The show.
You can't wear no J. Cole or Kendrick. Look here, man.
What are we doing now, bang? What are we doing where you have to? This is why I said that I wish that he would have just kind of just fell back from all of this after the beef was over. Just hold the L. After you put out the Heart Part 6, you know, you could have fell back after that. You didn't have to do anything else. You could have just went off into the sunset, hold the L, and then come back whenever it is you're ready to come back and do music, bro. But no, you're doing all of this extra shit. So what you're saying is when this comes out, a report comes out allegedly that you don't want people to wear these certain things, you're expecting that to happen. Why do you expect people to show up to your show wearing these type of things? Because they're gonna troll you, correct?
Niggas be wearing AEW shit at Raw and vice versa.
Nah, bang. Drake is Drake though. Drake supposed to be the guy. Drake that guy. So if we know that, so why would I, why if you doing a show in Australia, it just so happens the same day as the Super Bowl, why do you think people are gonna show up wearing these type of things? Because you are putting on a show. You are actually out here keep on trolling this man, filing lawsuits. You know what the people on the internet is saying about you, but you still want to go along with the show anyway. But now you want to tell people what they can and can't wear? Like, you expect them to wear that shit at the show? Like, bro, you're accepting the fact that you took an L, though. So that's accepting the fact you took an L, but you can't accept the fact you took an L and you filing a lawsuit against them. But you know that people going to show up to your show and troll you. Then why are you having a show in the first place? Why are you doing this? Why are you actually having a tour in Australia at the same time, the start date, the same time as the day Kendrick Lamar was performing at the Super Bowl? Why are you doing this?
I,
Why? So we can come out, so reports can come out that, oh yeah, they can't wear this and that, so we can just continue to keep talking about you? Because that's what's going on. The jokes are flying about you right now on the internet. And that's the same thing with this defamation suit. Dude, the jokes are flying at you. You're suing the label because this man said some things about you. Allegedly. So this shit is getting more corny and cornier, bro, as the day, as it goes by. So to answer your question, Dre, Bang, yes. There might come a time in this world where Drake is not that likable guy anymore. It's going to get up to here to a point where we're like, all right, bro, that's enough. That's it, bro. There's no more defending. We can't defend you anymore. As much as we want to defend you, you just keep showing how corny and corny of a person you are. Even if you do put out good music. That's the problem, bro. He could have just fell back, took the L, went off into the sunset. We could have been missing him, bro. We could have been like, yo, bro, we ready for Drake to come back out. And then boom, he magically appears. But no, he won't go away. And he won't go away for the wrong reasons.
Like, my only thing is that currently this man is the biggest streamed artist in the world.
Absolutely.
How the hell do you drop from that?
Because he baited the boogeyman.
Let me ask a different question. Do you think Drake fans really give a damn?
About what?
About all this shit. Do you think they give a damn about the lawsuit? Do you think Drake fans really give a damn about this Kendrick battle shit? They probably all think that Kendrick was on bullshit with the pedophile shit. But then you have him with the domestic violence and the kid. They don't give a damn about the fact that Drake said that Kendrick be beating his wife and his kids ain't his. They just give a damn about Kendrick calling him a PDF.
Dude, I'm a Drake fan. I don't even care that Kendrick Lamar is alleging that he's a pedophile. Not Like Us is just a fucking bop, bro. And it just so happens that he's calling you a pedophile on the record. That's how I look at it. I don't think Drake is a pedophile. And I'm a fan of Drake. If Drake was doing a concert and he was coming to Chicago, I would go. Even after Not Like Us. I'm not going to troll you, bro. I'm not going to troll you, fam, and wear PG Lang gear at the concert, fam. That's just me, though. So I'm a Drake fan. I don't care about none of that shit, dog. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. You said Kendrick Lamar allegedly beats on his wife. I don't care. Family Matters is still a good diss. It's a good diss record. It was a solid, solid diss record, bro. You know what I'm saying? Kendrick Lamar just strategically broke you down more in the battle, bro. And it wasn't even just with Not Like Us. It was with Meet the Grams. It was with 616 in LA. You know, those records too. You go back, he broke you down all the way, bro. That's why you lost the beef. It wasn't just because Not Like Us. You overall lost the battle, dog. And that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Again, my daughter loves Not Like Us. She loved that song, bro. She has no idea what's being said about that man on that song, bro. She just enjoy it because it's a fucking bop, bro. It's a bop, bro. And honestly, I feel like, to answer your question too, Drake fans, I don't know if they, I think you have a certain amount of people, a big significant amount of people that are like diehard Drake fans. So they're going to ride with Drake. They're going to ride with Drake no matter what. But if you have like a fan like me, I'm not a diehard Drake fan. I don't have Drake posters on my wall or anything like that. So that's where the likability of Drake can affect me. I cannot like Drake because he's doing certain shit. Certain Drake fans don't give a fuck what he do. He gonna troll on the internet. He gonna sue. He gonna do whatever it is. He gonna go on live streams and troll Kendrick Lamar and whatever it is that he's gonna do on the internet and social media, Instagram, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Those are the fans that's gonna rock with him regardless. Me, that type of shit makes me not like him, you know what I'm saying, as a person. Like, I think I'm gonna call him corny every time, G. Every time he does it, he's gonna just get cornier and cornier.
I kind of think people don't give a fuck.
They don't just care at all.
I think that us old niggas give a shit. We still about the culture. We still love it. All of that. I don't think, and all the shit that's ever came with it, I don't think these kids that love Drake really give a fuck about this shit.
The music. Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely correct. Me too. I don't care about none of that shit, man. I just want Drake to drop music.
Now, he might care and all of that, but the fact that he sued and all of this shit.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Bang. Do you think that Not Like Us hurt Drake's marketability as an artist of him allegedly being called a pedophile on a song? Do you think that affects Drake going, if he don't file a lawsuit and he's just going about his business and holds the L in a battle, do you think Drake have a hard time booking commercials or TV shows or movies or anything, any type of endorsements? Does that affect him because that Night Like Us, because Not Like Us exists?
Technically, yes. Here's why. But it's not what you think. Here's why. Even though streaming wise, nobody is going to beat Drake, Drake is not going to be looked at as number one. And because he's not going to be looked at as number one, it hurts his marketability.
So he's not being looked at number one. Because he lost to a competitor.
I'm with you. I know that. What I'm saying is that's part of the competition. It's like if you heating somebody and you get clowned all day long, but you say one funny joke, and now niggas is saying that joke all day long. Your ass got killed in the lunchroom for 5 minutes straight, but you say one joke, and it ends it all. And that's all they talking about. You ain't as funny as we thought you was, nigga, because you let that nigga get off on you one good time. Not saying that this is the Drake situation, because it's not specifically that. But what rappers need to understand in these type of situations, what rappers got to understand is that when it's over and when the dust settles, somebody is going to pick a winner and a loser. And the loser can still be relevant. Go look at Jay. But now it gives credence for people to say Nas is better than Jay. Nas is better than Jay. He won the battle. Nas is better than Jay. It gives people that opportunity to say that. I don't think Jay-Z really gave a fuck. Drake does.
And that's why
Drake ass is going to be in Australia. Now, times are also different. People are finicky listeners of music and marketers as well. So when you're hearing Not Like Us, the instrumental everywhere, that's you losing your marketability because it used to be you. Some of the things that Kendrick started getting used to be you. So you can still be the highest streamed artist, but some of the things that you, that song that you release just in time for the NBA playoffs, Kendrick got that spot. NFL playoffs, Kendrick got that spot. They said you turned down the Super Bowl four times. It don't matter no more because we got Kendrick that spot. Kendrick. So technically, yes, it loses the marketability. But also, Drake just got to just go ahead and eat it and go about his day and won't nobody worry about it. Where Drake is really losing that is he's deciding to go about it this way. I think for defamation, the label's going to be good. We ain't rap about you being a PDF. He did. Sue him. he has the right, his First Amendment right, to do music and do art the way that he does it. And if it's catchy, we gonna promote it. The end.
He has
just like
he
just
has
like
no shot.
Just like when your ass was dissing Meek Mill, when your ass was dissing Common, when your ass was subbing all of these other rappers, when your ass was subbing all of these women.
That was the
when we pushed your shit.
When UMG,
that's on y'all.
When UMG posted that statement and they said that he uses his art to engage in other battles, in other battles with other artists successfully at that, we don't say anything. That's what he does. That was the perfect quote, perfect statement, perfect quote to put in that statement, bro. So, yes, it, like, he has no shot at winning that lawsuit, I think. Yeah. I don't see nowhere in the world he wins that.
And to me, that's the end. We supported you when you did this and your shit was catchy. They ain't say shit. We doing the same thing. What are we doing here? They got a right to make their art. You got a right to make yours. Shut up.
Said, that's don't it. Sue us. Sue him.
Don't sue us. Sue them. He called you that. But you also said that he beat his wife and his kid ain't his. What are you doing? Now, Drake is running along the lines of I know the playbook. But Drake ain't suing. This is defamation. This ain't for the right of and to support artists and I think we've been cheated. No, this is defamation. And I think people got that confused. I think people got the lawsuit confused. So like, no, Drake, he doing this for... No, Drake out...
Dude, let me ask
Drake,
you
Drake... Wait a minute, let me just say this part. Drake is suing for the same reason why, if you take this into account, maybe Big should have sued Pac or Faith should have sued Pac. That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm suing. Get the lawyers.
Can Faith Evans technically still sue?
President.
Technically, can she still sue? She technically still sue Interscope Records?
Maybe she could sue Interscope Records.
If you go and look the
estate of Tupac Shakur.
She could
sue. If Drake's suing, you got a point. if Faye didn't have sex with Pac,
she could technically sue his estate. Technically. But that's frowned upon, and that's just not what we do. You just let people say whatever it is they want to freely say on records, and you keep it moving. Keep it moving, okay? But let me ask you one more question before my MacBook dies. Do you think that this kind of plays into a point where, like, Drake can use this defamation, and then, like, somewhere along the lines, the courts, like, in the midst of the process of this lawsuit, they could say, hey, you know, Drake might have a point here. Kendrick Lamar, you have to halt any performances of Not Like Us because you got the Grammys coming. You got the Super Bowl coming up. You got him going on tour. 2025, and that song still finna be ringing off. Can that play a part into this?
That man don't want that song played. The end. That man don't want the song played. The end. Because your Mac, they don't want that. If you was Drake, do you want... I'll say what I said on Summer Sessions before your MacBook died. Mike. Drake needs to understand that they could play that instrumental and he ain't got to rap no words. The crowd is going
to
do it
for him. I was about to say,
him.
The people go do it for him.
The crowd is going to do it for him. Drake, Kendrick Lamar ain't got to rap no words. The beat of play and the crowd will rap it.
Yep.
So you gonna sue the crowd for defamation?
He fucked when Kendrick go to Toronto. He's fucked.
All right, man. Before we get out of here, I'd like to thank y'all for listening to the pod. Shouts out to Nelly and all of them for performing for the president.
Get y'all money.
Get y'all money. Hey.
Hey, man. What What you call to say, Clay Davis? I take any motherfucking money you they giving it away. God damn it! What you thought? So I thought this was.
And look, man, I don't like these niggas either. But hey, man, like, shit. I get it.
500,000
I wouldn't do it.
I'm there.
If I pop, hey, man, I might. Shit. We partin' at the Trump. Hey, Mike, close us out.
Some Dude Pod, man. Out. Rate, like, subscribe. You can find Some Dude Pod on the Barbershed Network. The Barbershed Network is available anywhere, any place that you can get podcasts from. Just search us, YouTube, Twitch, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that good stuff. I'm at Mike B underscore CHR, at JR Bang, at Some Dude Pod. TikTok is back. We was down, but we back. Bang can still scroll TikTok and look for all his conspiracy theories.
Ice wall, we back. Hey, TikTok is back. I get to find out what's going on behind the ice wall and the Anunnaki.
They can't hold TikTok down, man. But we out of here, man.
Yo, it's your girl, Nate Kale, and this is Some Podcast. We out. Peace.